Thank you. So, just before I begin the talk, how many of you actually have been to community events, to things that Coret Lumen Christi Community runs? A few of you. Okay, so something we've been trying to do is to pray for about people beforehand. So for some kind of description, maybe where they are, a name perhaps, and for some word from God. So I was doing that, and I prayed, and I got an image of a lady. She was with her son. Normally I write it on my phone so that I can say that I did it yesterday and not today, but I can't get access to my phone, so I've had problems with that. So you'll have to believe me or not, as the case may be. Anyway, so I was praying, and I saw that a lady on my right-hand side, a little way back from the edge, and she was with a son, and she's called Anthony. The son was called Anthony. So I think this lady here fits that description, who's there with the red phone. So maybe we can just, I'm not going to take a long time because we need to crack on with some other things, but if we're just going to pray for you, I'm going to talk about these words and pray into them, and then we're just going to ask God to come and really bless you in that. Is that okay? Super. So maybe we can extend our hand and we'll just pray for you. When I was praying for you, as I explained from the front, I saw you with a boy, and the boy's name was Anthony. I think that's your son's name, is that right?
Yeah.
We did have a chat actually at Mass. We weren't talking about this specifically, and I learned his name was Anthony, but I thought it was you anyway. I had a few brief words from God, and I just want to pray through into those. The first thing was actually, he's a good boy. That was the first phrase. And to pray for his protection. So I know he's not here at the moment, he's just outside. But I really want to do that now. I really want to thank you for your son. I want to thank you for your relationship with him. And Lord, I do really want to pray for your protection over him, for all that you want to do in his life, do through your relationship with him. And I thank you for that, and I really pray you, Lord, that you see really what's inside him. We all have children, and sometimes we never would think that. But, you know, God sees him in this way, that he's a good boy. But also we have to be reminded that our children really need our prayers. They need our support, they need our love. And just that will really protect him and help him in his life. So thank you to really affirm you as his mother in that. But Lord, you just give my sister here that ability to really plead and protect. And then I just had a phrase, nothing is impossible to God. So it seemed connected to something that was on your heart that you were struggling with. So I don't know if there's anything particular, but just maybe you can put that before the Lord. And I'm going to pray this, that nothing is impossible to God. You know, this thing that you're striving with, is that right? Would you say is that? So we read for this thing that you're putting in front of the Lord now, that, you know, things that seem impossible to us. When those Israelites entered the promised land, Jericho was an impregnable fortress. No one could get through it. And yet God gave them this very simple instruction, and the walls came crashing down. So I really want to pray this over your life, this power of God to accomplish what it is that he sees, you know, and his vision for what's going on in your life is greater than that. He can see through it when you're in the midst of it, and he's really there giving you this strength. So I really want to pray you experience that strength. I had this name of a person, I wasn't really sure about it. It was Emma, I thought, is there a kind of friend in your life that you were that's kind of travelling with you, or that's helping you? Would that be Ashley at all? Is that someone? No, fine, okay, no, don't worry about it.
Professional.
Yes, I just had this, I wasn't sure if this was connected to you or to her, but I just had this, I saw this person of courage, that was the word that stood through this, is a person of courage.
and that they yield, I think actually this is you, you yield a rich harvest through your perseverance. That's what I would say. To yield a rich harvest through your perseverance. So I really want to pray that although things are very difficult and painful, that God sees something in you, both in your son and in you and in your relationships, and that there's going to be a harvest accomplished through it. And not just a harvest, but a rich harvest. But that other word, perseverance. I mean, the only way that we can persevere is through God's strength and through God's grace. And so I'm going to pray, Lord, for your grace to come upon my sister here. Just fill her, Lord, with your love, with a knowledge of your power. So just thank you. Pray in Jesus' glory. Finally, just one other thing that I want to do. Is there anything about your housing situation that's difficult at the moment? So I heard about you having housing difficulties. And I just put that we all have to pray for you. So I want all of you to extend your hands. We're all going to pray for this lady, for her housing situation. So Lord, for these housing difficulties, you put this word, you gave this word to me yesterday for this lady. But Lord, you are going to accomplish something in this. And we just all, can we all pray out loud? We just pray in tongues, or just pray for this audio council. Lord, we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray domestic,
so having spoken about the word and the fact the word needs to have effect, I thought I had to put my money where my mouth is and do that. So praise God. Microphone number two. Can you all hear me? I've got a fairly loud voice. So, if you remember, we were speaking just before we went to Mass about the way in which we can really receive God's word. I just want to finish that off because we're going to have a time of ministry after this, and I want to give us time for that. You should have a little bit on your handout here. I mentioned first about listening. I remember someone telling me, it's very obvious, but I found it quite helpful, that, you know, God gave us two ears and only one mouth, which means we ought to at least be listening twice as much as we're speaking. So you might say that's time for me to shut up and sit down, but not quite yet. Okay, so the thing I think that we should take out of that is silence. If we want to really receive God's word into our heart, if we're going to allow that word to have to bear fruit in our lives, to be nurtured within us, then we have to, in some sense, be silent, to listen and to be silent. I mentioned about this exhortation from the Pope, Pope Benedict XVI, which was about 10 years ago now. And he writes in that, you've got the quotation on your handout, "Let us be silent to hear the Lord's word and meditate upon it, so that by the working of the Holy Spirit it may remain in our hearts and speak to us all the days of our lives." When Les gave his testimony there, you know, in order to receive that word about Jabez, he had to, in some sense, listen and allow the word to penetrate into him, to be silent, not to immediately put his own interpretation or thoughts onto that, but to be silent in order that God's word can begin to take root, that seed can begin to grow. So silence is critical for us. In Deuteronomy 28:9, I think you can tell that Moses has been with the Israelites for quite a long time at this point, and the priests as well. Then Moses and the Levitical priests spoke to all Israel, saying, "Keep silence and hear, O Israel. This very day you have become the people of the Lord your God. Therefore obey the Lord your God, observing his commandments and statutes." It's interesting the way that functions, isn't it? before God says something really important, he has to get us to be quiet. Because how else are we going to hear him? So if we're asking God to speak in our lives, if we want the scriptures to speak to us, there has to be a willingness on our part to be silent. And isn't it interesting what God says there to the Israelites through Moses? This very day you have become the people of the Lord. He says that to us as well. We are also the people of the Lord. We are also walking in his ways. We also are journeying out of our Egypts and into the promised land that God wants to bring us into. And so we too, just as they had to, need to keep silence in order to hear this word of God. I think too it's interesting there in that quotation that it talks about priests. That's very relevant for us as Catholics because we attend Mass and the priest presides at the Mass, celebrates the Mass. And we have to be silent in order to receive the nourishment, thank you, that God wants to give to us. So I just want to encourage you to try and allow there to be silence in your life. I know I find that, for example, this week before I came here, I stopped really using the internet an awful lot. I tried not to listen to many other things because I find if I don't do that, if I carry on just reading whatever and listening to whatever or watching stuff on the television, my mind is so full of, you know, claptrap, of codswallop, that it's really difficult to switch off from it. You know, it's we're not like I'll keep talking to stay, but it is really hard to keep silence, isn't it? We've got so many distractions in our lives. But I encourage you, if we're able to tune out of those things, then it is much easier for God to speak to us and for us to hear that. So that's an encouragement. We sing on a Wednesday in the community. Have any of you been to our house? One or two of you have. So we have a chapel, and there's a lot of icons in our chapel. And on a Wednesday, we sing Orthodox Vespers. So it's a Byzantine, an Eastern evening liturgy rather than the normal Western liturgy. And we have to sing, often the person leading it has to sing, you know, wisdom be attentive, wisdom be attentive, and you have to be silent. And then the prayer starts, because you're going to do something really important, and God wants to speak to you. In the liturgy, whatever we're doing, God wants to speak to us. So what does wisdom say? What does the wise man say? Be attentive, listen, be silent. And then this is what we read in the scriptures, again in Deuteronomy a little later on from the bit where I was just reading now about Moses and the Levitical priests, in chapter 30. The word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe. It's already there. God's merely calling to something that is already within you. That's encouraging for us. That God has put everything in there, just as he has. In fact, some of the church fathers use this analogy of a seed, just as the entire plant is in the seed. So everything that God wants for us is already within us. And as it were, it just needs to be brought out, to be made manifest. And we cultivate that by listening and by silence. Because otherwise what happens is we can jump to the wrong conclusions. That very often happens actually when you try and get a prophetic word. God shows you an image and you immediately think of something else. And it's because that's the way your mind works, but it's not the way God's mind works. And the reason is that we haven't been silent. There's a nice little story, and it's on a railway platform. And there's a priest standing there ready to get, you know, waiting for their train. And there's a guy and he's had too much to drink, you know, and he's very, very kind of disheveled. And he's got a paper in his hand. And, you know, it's a bit pongy. And the priest is sort of edges away from him a little bit. And anyway, the guy looks at him and he sees his dog collar. And he says, oh, Father, hello. And the father says, hello. He says, tell me, Father. He says, what causes arthritis? The priest comes up his hand and thinks, now's my chance. He says, well, arthritis, my son, is caused by too much drinking. It's caused by loose living. It's caused by not doing an honest day's work. That's what causes arthritis. Why do you ask? He says, oh, no particular reason. It just says in the paper here that the Pope's got arthritis. Let's hope the train came quickly after that. You see, we jump to conclusions.
All the time we jump to conclusions. And God is trying to tell us something else. And the great example of this in the Bible for us as Catholics is Mary. She's the great listener to the word. And in her, the word bears the most perfect fruit. But what is true of her is also an example for us. That's why we invoke her name. That's why we ask for her prayers. Because we realise that she has received something. She has seen and heard something. And we want that as well. We want to receive her son even as she was able to. Not in our womb, I mean. But, you know, to be able to spiritually benefit from that. And again, the Pope writes, Pope Benedict XVI writes in that letter I mentioned there. He said, I would like to mention Mary's familiarity with the word of God. It's clearly evident in the Magnificat. You know, my soul glorifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God, my Saviour, that prayer of Mary's. Here we see how completely at home Mary is with the word of God. With ease, she moves in and out of it. She speaks and thinks with the word of God. The word of God becomes her word. And her word issues from the word of God. So there's this beautiful exchange. Here we see how her thoughts are attuned to the thoughts of God, how her will is one with the will of God. Since Mary is completely imbued with the word of God, she is able to become the mother of the word incarnate. See, that's a fantastic passage to reflect on. I love the way it says, she speaks and thinks with the word of God. The word of God becomes her word. And I've been to events where someone has a word of scripture and they speak that word and as it were it becomes mine as they speak it. And that's what's happening here with Mary. You know that word for her is also for us. And I just really encourage you with that because there's such a lot of fruit that can be born through that reception of the word. And as it were then we begin to dwell not just here, as it were, in this kind of patch of earth, but in the milieu of the heaven and the saints. Because we're understanding the language that they speak. And that's what we're being brought into. Every Mass is an integration of us into what's going on in heaven. I was sharing with Philip earlier. There's this lovely image that some of the church fathers have, that there are three liturgies that go on. There is the liturgy of heaven, with, you know, the Father, Lamb upon the throne, and all the angels and the saints and the elders. There is the liturgy that we celebrated earlier, the Mass, and there is the altar there. But there is also, the Church Fathers, some of the Church Fathers teach, a liturgy going on in our lives, and our heart is that altar. So in other words, there is this drawing up from deep within us, through the Mass, and up into heaven. You know, we are being drawn in this ceaseless liturgy, because God himself is present and is drawing us. And the word can bring us into that place. Silence. You know, Mary treasured all these things, it writes in Luke's Gospel, and pondered them in her heart. If we're silent, we can ponder these things in our hearts and they can bear fruit. So we had about listening and about silence. And clearly those two things have to come together in prayer. That's fundamental for us as Christians. And I really encourage us, particularly during Lent, you know, prayer can be difficult. It very often is difficult. And it's difficult because our lives are not in a very good place. Our heads and our hearts aren't really where they should be. But God's very, very gentle and merciful. And he brings us back. And so it's a good time during Lent to try and encourage ourselves to get a good habit of prayer established if we don't have one already. There's a lovely quote in Origen, one of the very early Christians. It's quoted in a book by Cantalamessa, Life in Christ. He says, do not think that the renewal of life that came about once and for all at the beginning is enough. Newness itself must be renewed. Now, this is a day of renewal. And we know in our country, don't we, that renewal needs renewing. I listen to quite a few people and they talk about the situation maybe 30 years ago when prayer groups were full, when there was a lot of activity, when quite a lot of people were being baptised in the Holy Spirit. And that's still the case in some parts of the world. But here in England, that's not the experience for most of us. Renewal itself, newness itself has to be renewed. And that needs to start with us. There was a great atheist philosopher, Friedrich Nietzsche, and he was brought up, his father was a Lutheran pastor, he lost all faith, and actually he ended up in an asylum, had a tragic end. But he said something very interesting. He said, I would find it easier to believe in a loving God if Christians look like they'd been redeemed. The way we are has an impact on the world around us. And then Jesus says that, if salt has lost its saltiness, it's good for nothing. And so to encourage us, God wants to give us this fullness of life. That's the great promise. But we have to receive it. We have to put ourselves in a place to be able to live it and to share it with others. I haven't printed it out for you, but that website that I gave to you at the very beginning, it's got a lovely thing, I think, from the Carmelites on Lectio Divina. So I just encourage you, if you find prayer difficult, if you're a bit stuck, if it's something that you've done in the past, aren't really doing now, it would be well worth reading that. It goes through the different stages of Lectio Divina. That's a way of praying with the scriptures, and it can be very, very fruitful. So just to encourage you about that. So, we've listened, we've been silent, we are praying, we are allowing ourselves to stand in a place where God can speak to us. But the other thing that has to really happen in our lives is that we need to make a choice. I was averring to that just a moment ago. In the Catechism it writes, you've got the quotation there in your handout. This is specifically about Jesus' parables, but more broadly we can say this. Through his parables, Jesus invites people to the feast of the kingdom. We're all invited to that feast. Not just all of us, everyone. The whole world is invited to that feast. But he also asks for a radical choice. That word is a bit of a giveaway, isn't it? A radical choice doesn't suggest it's necessarily going to be easy. To gain the kingdom, one must give everything. Words are not enough, deeds are required. Will the listener be good, be hard, or good soil for the word? Jesus and the presence of the kingdom in this world are secretly the heart of the parables. One must enter the kingdom, become a disciple of Christ, in order to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. But for those who stay outside, everything remains enigmatic. It's hidden, in other words. So those things about a radical choice. It's not an easy path, Christianity. It requires us to change, and that's difficult for all of us. But we're really lucky as Catholics, actually, because the whole sacramental life enables us to be accompanied through this change. You know, when I sin, I know that I can go to confession, and I know that I can speak these things to a priest without being judged, but I can speak them openly and honestly, and that God's mercy and redeeming power can come upon me. And I can be changed. I can be renewed. My newness can be renewed. And the whole of the sacramental life is rather like that. Well, particularly the repetitive sacraments. Every time we go to Mass, you know, we confess our sins. We receive the body of Jesus afresh. So we're really fortunate. So we're able to make this choice constantly. But the lovely thing about this choice is, and the word radical suggests that, that that choice goes deeper and deeper and deeper. And that's because our relationship with God goes on and on and on into eternity. And this, as it were, we're in the foothills of that now. You know, on the early slopes of it. And God will take us who knows where. So to encourage you to do that, it can seem difficult, but actually, Jesus says, doesn't he? You know, learn from me, take my yoke upon you. You know, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that's the reason. It's a radical choice, but Jesus bears the bulk of the burden for us. Take up your cross and follow me. That's a very difficult saying. But then Jesus sends the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the strengthener. So every time Jesus gives, as it were, a hard command, something that seems difficult or arduous, impossible in fact, he realizes that and gives the means by which that can be accomplished. And so we have the whole life of the church, the giving of the Holy Spirit, and particularly for those of us in the renewal. You know, life in the Spirit is a pleasure. I don't mean that we every single moment we have a kind of, you know, cheesy grin on our face. We don't. There are struggles and difficulties. But the encouragement is that God's Spirit is with us, acting through us, and hopefully bringing us, and well, not hopefully, but definitely bringing us into a closer relationship with our Lord. So just to really encourage you to step out, to step out. Now, I am by nature not a charismatic person at all. I didn't really want to be in the renewal. My wife sort of forced me into it, as sometimes happens. But the charismatic renewal is not something for any particular kind of person or style of person. It's for absolutely everybody because God's Spirit is poured out upon the whole church, on each of us. And that's what the renewal is. It's a reception, an honest and heartfelt reception of God's Holy Spirit, a response to that promise that he makes. And finally now, we're going to come into our healing time quite soon. What is it that this life promises for us? What is the demand? What is it that we're being invited to? Again, in De Verbum, in the Constitution on the Divine, on Divine Revelation, says the obedience of faith must be our response to God who reveals. By faith, one freely commits oneself entirely to God, making the full submission of the intellect and will to God who reveals, and willingly assenting to the revelation given by God. There's a nice little story. Those of you who did Alpha sort of 20 years ago when it first came out and used the Nicky Gumbel, the green Nicky Gumbel book, there's a nice story in that. So I'm stealing this from Nicky Gumbel's book, but it is a good story. And it's a story of a missionary, I think, and she's working in, it's Jordan or somewhere like that, it's an Arab country anyway. And she's working with children. So she was running a sort of a nursery and a children's home, and she has to go from the city where she lives to an outlying town in order to kind of go to one of the schools that's out there, one of the mission stations. And she takes a whole load of stuff with her in order to take to this other school that she's going to. Anyway, she drives out of the city and breaks down. The car breaks down. It runs out of fuel. So she doesn't really know what to do. She can't move the car. She thinks, well, it's about a mile back to the outskirts of the town. I reckon there'll be a petrol station there. But she doesn't have a jerry can with her. She's got nothing to put the fuel in. So she has one of those, for those of you who've got children, will maybe remember, you get those potties and they've got a cassette underneath them, quite a big cassette that obviously holds whatever it needs to hold. And so she takes this. She goes to the petrol station and she fills the fuel up into the potty. And then she walks back to the car and she's tipping the contents of the potty out of the potty and into the fuel tank of her car. And this other car drives past, stops, the windows go down. And this Arab gentleman looks out of the window and he's watching her and she's tipping these contents. And he says, you know, madam, we don't share your religion, but we do admire your faith. So, little did he know. So, faith is this response. And faith does really bring people's admiration, actually. The admiration of the profane world, as one writer put it. When people see us acting in faith, in other words, putting our money, if you like, where our mouth is, people can begin to believe. And I think one of the difficulties is, and I think we heard about it a little earlier when Father was speaking in Mass, was that, you know, people in the early church were converted, or those around them were converted, because Christians weren't like them. There's a great story about a man, and he was in Burma during the Second World War. He was captured by the Japanese and was building one of these, you know, these bridges and the roads that they had to build. And he said they were building this, and one of the times they went through a Christian village, and they were given water and food, and none of the other villagers had done that for them. And he said, instantly thought, it's because they're Christian. That's what's made the difference. And we have to make a difference. And our faith is what will make a difference to the world around us. You know, and if we're, you know, genuinely sorrowful about the lack of faith, then we have to do something about that. So that's really what this word is about. It is a word to it is a word that calls forth a response of faith, a word of faith, as St. Paul says in Romans 10:8. So we've got two attitudes, haven't we? We've got, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. That's the attitude of the tax collectors. And then on the other hand, we've got the, and he did not do many works, this is Jesus, did not do many works there because of their unbelief. You know, and we also have unbelief in us. And where unbelief dwells in us, it's difficult for Jesus to work because we're not letting him in. So to really encourage us to have faith and also in faith to allow ourselves to be converted. De Verbum 5, I think you've got the quotation on your handout. For this faith that I've just been talking about to be accorded, we need the grace of God, anticipating it and assisting it, as well as the interior helps of the Holy Spirit, who moves the heart and converts it to God. So I mentioned about relationship. The lovely thing about a relationship is there's two people involved in that. There's God and there's, you know, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, and there's us. And so it's saying in here, God gives his grace. That's a promise. We've all been given that. But we have to anticipate and assist it. In other words, we have to know about it and work towards it. And sometimes that means stepping out and doing something. I'm going to ask Adish to speak in a moment just to share with us about going out onto the streets. And we have a healing ministry on the streets. That's stepping out in faith. We're going to have a time in a moment where we're going to ask God to come. We're going to look at our bodies. We're going to put our hands up at those of us who've got problems with our bodies. We're going to call down the power of God, and we're going to ask him to heal us. You know, we're putting our money where our mouth is. We're trusting on God's promise. And faith is this stepping out. So I really encourage you, whether it's stepping out in prayer, in my family life, in my work situation, in what I say, in what I watch, in how I react to different people and to the world around me, to really to step out, to make that choice. Because that's what it is that's asked of us. This book, the Bible, is a book of people who make choices. You know, are you with me or against me? You know, Joshua says that, doesn't he? You know, who's for me? Who's with me? Because as for me and my family, we're with the Lord, he says. And that's a great passage to read in the book of Joshua. So just to encourage us. So just sort of moving on now. It's really worth us thinking in the context of faith. What is it? What is it that God is wanting to accomplish through that? He's wanting to accomplish that a world that is the world that he created. And he sends his spirit in order that the world can be recreated in him. And so what we're going to ask now, what I want to say first is, the first thing is, if you read through the scriptures, you will notice that in Jesus' ministry, when Jesus preaches and he teaches, it isn't just a kind of passive thing. He's expecting a response. Whether it's the response of the Pharisees, which is, we don't really want to listen to this, or the authorities, or whether it's the response of the tax collectors, which is, you know, help my unbelief. We heard about Levi earlier today, Matthew, you know, changing the way that he lived. Jesus wants people to change. But he also insists in his own ministry that where he calls people into a relationship of faith, that also he expects God to work. That God is working in those situations. And so very often in Jesus' ministry, we hear him preach, and then we see that followed by signs and wonders, by Jesus praying for people's healing and people being healed. There's a lovely phrase towards the end of Mark's gospel. It says of Jesus, he went about doing good and healing people. I think that's a kind of great little strap line for us as Christians. They're people who do good and heal people. Yes. Now, that's not a bad thing to have under your title, is it? Under your name. So we want to give an opportunity for God to do that now, to encourage and to build up our faith. And the other thing that one sees in this book, and it's quite clear when Mary speaks to the angel, that when we say words, they mean something. You know, our words are not just kind of shouted out onto the wind and then blow away, that they have an effect, they have an impact, they can change. When Mary says, let your will be done in me, everything changes for her. Her whole life changes, and the whole history of the human world changes. You know, God becomes incarnate in her womb. When Moses utters those words way back in the book of Exodus, you know, things happen in Egypt and the situation in the world is changed. So we want our words to have an impact, our words to change, in order that we can be changed and that the world around us can be changed. So we're going to give a little opportunity for God to do that now. And really with faith, what I encourage us to do, when we're praying, so I'll ask people to put up their hands, you know, if they've got particular problems, to think, where is my faith? You know, do I think that God can heal? Do I think that's something, not that he can do, but that he will do? I always used to think, well, I sort of believe that God can do it, but whether he really will do it, I don't know. And I think it's a bit of a get out, that, really. I was trying to have a foot in both camps, really. A foot in the faithful camp and a foot in the disbelieving, you know, I want to stay a little bit of a cynical and keep my options open camp. But to encourage us to think, where is my faith? And to exercise the faith that we have, to be honest about it. You know, if we don't, we don't. But also to try and step out, Lord, help my unbelief. It's a good measure of where we are with the Lord sometimes. And then to really pray with conviction that God will accomplish these things that we are praying for.
that we are believing for, that we're loving for. Because this is an act of love. A healing service like we're about to have is an act of love. We're calling forth God, who is love, in order to love our brothers and sisters and to renew them in their bodies. That's a wonderful act of love. And so to encourage you to engage your faith with that. So maybe, Adish, perhaps can you share your word now of going out to the streets?
There's someone who's got a film. I don't know where. Is that Dominic who's got that? You have. Great. So we'll have that after Adish's. Great. Thank you. Go, Adish.
Hi. My name is Adish. I'm part of the community and I'm the newest member of the community. And also, I'm a new Christian. So, you know where I am from. Because that have a huge impact on what I'm going to say. I moved to the community house only like 8 months ago. I don't have much experience in a lot of healing ministry or anything like that. So I've been asked to go to the streets, so I went in obedience to go to streets. We went to Hounslow, we go to Croydon, we go and pray randomly, we stop people randomly and ask if you want some prayer. So we pray for people, and so far we have seen a lot of healings. In the middle of nowhere, you have God reigning in the street, you know. So I'm going to share one testimony. It's 2 months ago, we were in Hounslow. When we were walking through the street, I had a word came to my mind, into my eye. It came right shoulder. So right shoulder, somebody, God is saying to me, somebody's having a problem on the right shoulder, you're going to see. You know, so that's what I heard. I walked to the street, I was looking for people. Then I came across a couple. And the lady, I asked her, do you have any problem on the right shoulder? She said, I don't have a problem on the right shoulder. And she said, I have a problem on the right knee, you know. And I was like, because I made the choice to go with faith and God speak to me, and this has to be right. Otherwise, what's this, you know. Anyway, I went along with a couple of other members, so we prayed for the knee. And after the prayer, we said to her, can you move around and see how the pain, how is it now? So meanwhile, we were talking to the husband about faith, you know. So that happened, and she was going around, walk around, and she came back. But at that time still, I was thinking, oh my God, what about the word? What about the right shoulder? And I was like surprised. I didn't give up. I have faith for it. I have faith inside me. Like Duncan was preaching. I have this faith that this is, you know. And then the lady walked around. She was completely healed. No pain. She bent and everything. But most surprising thing is, she came and said, do you know what? I have a problem on the right shoulder. I was like, oh my God. I was so happy. God, this is amazing. This is amazing. Your word came true. So I didn't say anything. Well, how is it now? She said, it's gone during the process. So without even praying for her, with that word, her right shoulder is completely healed. She don't have pain anymore. She was like freaking out after that. And the moral of the story is that I have no experience about praying or anything. I don't know any magic, but the power of God, power of the name of God, that's it. The faith and the power of the name of God. And the other funny thing is that the person who received the prayer, you don't have to be believed. It's nothing to do with that. The person who is praying, if he have faith in Jesus' name, then you're going to see a lot of miracles. Amen. Amen.
So just last month, I was out with a couple of others from the community in Uganda. And we ran a thing. There's a community a little bit like ours in Uganda, and we were running a few things for them, and we had a healing service in that, a little bit like we're going to do now. We had a little bit longer than we do now, but I just have got a short bit of film. The sound is atrocious, so what I will do is, hopefully if I can find my sheet of paper, talk to you through it. Right. Yeah, if it's around, that'd be great. Okay, so that's, so this is, though, really what we're doing here. What I'll do when I open the service is that I will just ask people to stand up if they've got a particular problem, and then I'm just going to go through a list of problems. We're going to call down the power of God, and what we're going to do, we'll give God a chance to act, and then we're just going to speak his kind of word of faith the word of command into those problems. So that's what I'm doing there, is speaking that. It's really helpful if people are able to stand up that they do. And the other important thing is that Adish was right. In one sense, it's not about the faith of the person who's being prayed for. Okay, I'll just... So this lady, she had numerous problems. She had a lump on this left side of her body. And after prayer, and she also had ulcers in her stomach that were giving her a lot of pain. So after the prayer, the lump had really gone down. I don't think it had completely disappeared. But she'd had this constant pain with these ulcers in her stomach, and that had gone. This girl also, she's a young girl, also had a lump on her left side. And that went down. I think it completely went. It did completely go after prayer, she said. And she had had that for 2 years, that girl. She's only a young girl. So she had had that for 2 years, and that went just after a fairly short prayer. So that is her. So she was delighted, and we were all thrilled for her. And I'm just asking how long she's had it. She'd had it for 2 years. Yeah. So thanks be to God for that. So what we're doing, this was the thing. I've been praying for people with lumps and kind of hernias and cancers, all those sorts of things, fibroids and so forth. So this... Yeah, this lady had had a kind of, again, ulcers, I think, in her kind of chest area. And she'd had quite a lot of pain. And then after the prayer, that prayer had gone, and she felt she was completely healed. She felt this kind of thing go through her, this warmth go through her. And so she was really, she'd had that, I think, for about 4 or 5 years. So I'm just asking, so this lady was perhaps the most interesting. She'd been in a lot of pain. She'd gone to the doctors and had a scan, and they'd found that some of her bones, she was getting growths on her bones. So she was in a lot of pain. They were getting these little, she described them as like spurs. And the doctor had said, well, there's nothing that we can do for you. There's nothing that I can do for you. You know, you need to pray to God and see if he'll do something for you. So she came to the service here. And she felt this incredible kind of heat rush. She was still experiencing that actually when we were talking to her. And you'll see in a minute that she'd been in quite a lot of pain and had quite restricted movement, particularly in her upper body. And then after the prayer, she'd felt this heat go through her body. People around her had been praying with her. And then, hopefully in a minute, he's just explained to me what's gone on. So I was asking her what she could do now that she couldn't do before, what the change is. So hopefully she's going to show us in a moment. Yeah, so I think it'd been on her spine and also I think in some of her legs. So she can, like, none of this she'd been able to do before. So she had so much more movement in her back and front. She'd been really in a lot of pain before. She's saying no pain. And she felt she was completely kind of healed and she could bend the other way as well. So, yeah, she was really made up, that girl. So praise God for that. Thank you, Lord. So that was just a little bit of footage. I'm sorry about it had sound to it, but the sound system was atrocious. So when we had a look at it here, it wasn't really, it didn't really seem to be worth it for us. Okay. Simon, actually, just, you came to one of our services just last week. So we had a Grace and Glory conference in London just a week ago. Simon was there. I just wanted him to share, if you would, just briefly, if you can for a couple of minutes. We were praying for you. There was a word. And
yeah, just for a bit of history, I caught TB when I was in my late 20s. And I was cured of that, but I was left with an aspergillus infection, which has given me asthma. And I was told by my consultant that the cilia, the hairs in my airways were killed off. And so I've been left with a cough ever since, and quite severe asthma. Anyway, I've had prayer. I've had prayer from my brother Pasquale over there for it. And it's always got a little bit better when he's prayed. But last week at the conference, Damien Stain got a word that someone had problems. And Les and his colleague Mary came and prayed with me. And I didn't feel much. But Mary got this picture of a pipe with hairs or something lying down in it. And then they were standing up. And I thought, that's the cilia in my airways. And so to test it, we had to go outside, and Les made me run up and down the stairs, which was quite knackering, but I put that down to my unfitness. So, and I've been testing myself this week, and I can't say for definite, but I stand on the fact that Jesus healed me last week.
Amen.
And you're breathing it today.
It is, yeah, it is. So praise God.
Praise God. Thanks so much, Simon, for sharing that with us. So really just to encourage us, you know, God is clearly wanting to act. And when we give him permission, he seems to do things. So we thought it would be a good opportunity today. Why not do that? We've got a little bit of time free. So maybe we've got a song at all? Or is that, would that be possible? So what we're going to do is we're going to just sing. We're going to praise God. And then I'm going to come up and I will just lead us through it, okay? I think if we could, for those of you who are able to, I really encourage you to stand. Just because we're going to be engaging with our bodies. So let's stand. Let's be in our bodies. Be aware of them. And then we'll just sing a song in praise to the Lord, and then we'll begin the healing time. Thanks, Jesus. Fantastic.
Heart that is broken. Pray.
you, Jesus. I really just encourage you to keep standing if you're able to. So first, maybe just put your hands up, those of you who've got something wrong in your body, something that you're asking the Lord to heal this afternoon. Don't be shy. There's a good few of us doing that. So what I really encourage you, if you're not receiving prayer, then just to pray for the person near you, okay? So the point of this is that we're all engaged. We're either receiving prayer or we are praying for a person near us, exercising faith. But just before we begin our time of healing, it's worth just reflecting on two things briefly. The first is, one of the things that can get in the way of healing is unforgiveness. We had a lovely incident a good few years ago now in one of the miracle rallies. And Damien, who was leading the service, led the whole congregation in a prayer for forgiveness. And there was a woman who forgave her sister after many, many years of estrangement. And, you know, she'd come in a wheelchair, she'd been crippled. And after that prayer, she was able to get out of the wheelchair. You know, so, and she reconciled with her sister. It was beautiful. The whole thing was restored. So I really just encourage you now, just if there is anyone who you haven't forgiven, you know, who's hurt you in your life, a relationship that's broken down, where there is unforgiveness, I really encourage you now just to call that person to mind. So let's just pray a prayer now for forgiveness for that person. So Lord, I really want to hold up to you all these names. And maybe you can just pray after me. So, when you need to say the person's name, just say it under your breath. We don't need to hear that. In fact, you can say the whole prayer in your heart, but you don't need to say it out loud, but you must kind of give your will, your assent to it. So, Lord, I want to pray for the person's name. I forgive them for the hurt that they've caused me, or cause those who I love. And I ask you to forgive them. And I pray, Lord, that you release them from any punishment due for their sin. And I ask you, Lord, to put blessing onto their life. In Jesus' name, amen. And the other thing just to mention is sometimes if we're aware that we've got sort of sinful habits in our life, I really encourage you, I know there are confessions going on as well, perhaps you don't need to go right now, but to just give those to the Lord. If you're aware that you're doing something in your life that you oughtn't to be, then just to give that to the Lord now, and as soon as you're able to go to confession. So we'll just give that to the Lord. You know, sin and unforgiveness, there's something we know that can get in the way. Okay, so we've kind of, as it were, leveled the mountains, we've filled in the valleys, and now we're going to begin the service proper, as it were. So firstly, just check, those of you who are asking for prayer, just check your body, you know, if it's your problem in your arms or your legs, move them, see what you can do without pain. If it's to do with your eyesight or your hearing, maybe take off your spectacles or your hearing aids. Just to check, you know, that you can't hear or what your eyesight is like. Because something we've had before is people weren't sure whether it happened after they'd been prayed for or before. And we really want to connect what's happening to our faith and to Jesus' power. You know, if you've got a tumour or a growth or something like that, can you feel how big it is, if it's a lump? So check what you can do now. Just check that briefly. I mean, obviously, if it's in a very sort of private area, then you know, we're not asking you to do anything that would be embarrassing.
I think
we're primarily praying for people who are in the room. If you want to hold someone up in prayer, I've got no objection to you doing that at all. But we're praying for people in the room. Okay. Now then, so just again, those of you who are wanting prayer, just pop your hands up. Can we just make sure that that people around them who aren't asking for prayer, just put your hands on them, or that you're being prayed with. Great. I know that means not everyone's going to have someone laying hands on them, but that's okay. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So the first thing we want to do is we're just going to come against any kind of spiritual causes behind these things. You know, very often the pain can be caused in our body by physical things, but sometimes, you know, there can be a spiritual cause. So now I just really want to pray. I want to thank you, Lord, for your presence in this room. I want to thank you, Lord, for all that you've been doing today. I want to thank you for your presence in all my brothers and sisters. And Lord, we just really call down your Holy Spirit now. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to you, God. Praise you. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to you for your presence in this room. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're working now. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Glory to you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. And now, Lord, in your name, Lord Jesus, I command any spiritual cause of these sicknesses in people's bodies to leave right now. In your name, Lord Jesus. Be gone. In Jesus' holy name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So now we're really going to fight in love as we're praying for people in love. So all that we're doing now is in love. So just pray out loud. For those of you who aren't being prayed for, just pray out loud so the person can hear you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just Jesus, you heal my brother or heal my sister. Come now with your healing power, Lord. If you've got the gift of tongues, feel free just to pray in tongues. But we're really engaging our faith and our words with God's will now for us. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. More of you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to you, Lord. Praise you, Holy One. Glory to you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. More of your power, Lord. More of your love. Praise you, Lord. More of you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to you, Lord. Praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to you, Lord. More of you, Holy Spirit. More of you, Lord. Kiri yamba yana da shiri yere 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 hamba yana da kiri yere 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 yamba yana yere 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 shiri yere yere kiri yere yamba yana yere 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 kiri yere yere hamba yana da yere. More of you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Kiri yere yamba yana yere shiri yamba yana da. More of your power, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you're doing. Glory to you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. More of you, Lord. Just keep praying. I encourage you to keep praying. Thank you, Lord. More of you, Holy Spirit. More of you, Lord. Glory to you. Praise you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. More of you, Holy Spirit. More of you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. Praise you, God. Praise you, Lord. Praise you and thank you, Lord. More of you, Holy Spirit. More of you, Lord. Just let him come. Let him come. Thank you, Lord. Glory to you. Praise you, Holy One. Thank you, Lord Jesus. More of you, Lord. If you're able to, just put your hands, those of you praying over people, on the area that needs healing. Thank you, Lord. Glory to you. Praise you, Lord. Praise you and thank you, Lord. More of you, Lord. More of your power, Lord. Glory to you, God. More of you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Those of you being prayed for, just really receive. Just come, Lord. If you don't have anyone physically putting a hand on you, just you know that we're praying for you. The Lord is really with you. Come, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you. More of you, God. More of you, Holy Spirit. More of you, Lord. Praise and glory to you, God. More of you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Glory to you. Praise you, Lord. Let's just keep engaging our faith for our brothers and sisters, for ourselves. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to you, God. Praise you, Lord. Praise you. Thank you. Lord, we really want to thank you, Jesus. Glory to your holy name. Jesus, praise you, Lord. You are the healer. Thank you, Lord. Glory to you now. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord God.
praise you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And now in the name of Jesus, I speak to you hands. I speak to you shoulders. I speak to you necks and backs. We speak to you spines and hips, legs and knees, feet. We speak to any kind of paralysis. Be healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. More of you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Just receive that now if that was you. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, God. More of your power, Lord. Praise you, Lord. More of you, Holy Spirit. More of you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And now I speak to you, I speak to you ears, to those of you conditioned with your eyes, to all lumps and tumors and cancers, to all conditions of the heart and lungs, to all other conditions affecting the internal organs, to the brain, just every other sickness and condition. Be healed now in Jesus' name. See for the glory of God. Hear for the glory of God. Disappear, shrivel up in Jesus' holy name. Be renewed, be refreshed, and all pain be gone in Jesus' holy name. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Let's really fight for our brothers and sisters now in faith. Praise and glory to you, God. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. More of you, Jesus. Praise and glory to you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just for those of you who've been prayed for, begin to see if you can do things now that you couldn't do before. If there's been a lump has gone down, or a movement in your body has improved, or pain has gone, you can hear or see where you couldn't before, or if you've experienced something internally. Just begin to test that out now if you can. The rest of us will just stay praying. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to you, God. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to you. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord God. Praise you. Thank you, Lord. Glory to you, God. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Just for those of you still receiving ministry, just continue to let him come. We're going to have another couple of minutes. Praise you, Lord. Glory to you, Lord. More of your power. Thank you, Lord. Just continue to receive now. Praise you, Lord. Glory to you, God. Thank you. And praise you, Lord. Glory to you, God. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Holy One. Thank you. And glory to you, O God. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And now I just really encourage you, if you've experienced a change in your body, can you just put your hand up if there's something you can do now that you couldn't do before? I just encourage you, if you could raise your hands if you experienced some improvement. Just raise up your hand so I can see. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Just keep them up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Lovely. So I just really encourage you now, for those people who received an improvement, maybe if you could just come forward. Just for those of you still being prayed with, that's okay. Just if you please come forward, and we'll just hear a little bit. You can just tell us what you experienced, please.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. So this lady had a difficulty in your back, and you could...
Yeah.
And then God touched you. God touched you. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, when I was coming...
Yes.
my right knee, my two knees actually has been very bad.
Yes.
And I had severe pains. But when I was coming this morning.
And you had pain before you came here?
Yes. I don't have the pain now. I can kneel down now.
Yes.
You know, without problems.
And you couldn't do that before?
Yes, I couldn't do that before.
Thank the Lord. Yes. Praise God. Thank Hallelujah. You. Madam.
Yeah, with me, as soon as you mentioned people with problems in the hips.
Yes.
Yeah, I had a problem here in the hip.
You had a problem? For how many years had you had a problem in your hip area?
I think it's almost 5 months.
For 5 months?
Yeah. And
was that causing pain or?
Well, it's a lot of discomfort. Okay. When I'm standing, I keep on doing this
because
I need relief.
And you can feel now in your hips, you can move without any pain?
No, I can feel there's no pain.
No pain. Yeah. Praise God. Yes. Praise Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Madam.
I have a stiffness and soreness in this right arm.
How long had you had that for?
6 months.
For 6 months?
I'm very sore.
Yes.
So I kept using it.
And it was sore just before you came? And were you able to lift it before without pain?
I couldn't do that.
No pain?
Why don't you just do
that? Praise God. For 6 months. And now you've got complete freedom of movement. Praise God. So that lady she couldn't move her arm above here for 6 months, and now she can move it here without any pain at all. Thank you very much. Thank you, Lord. Sure. Sure. Did you experience something when you were prayed with? Okay. So maybe we'll ask maybe Les and Monica to pray with you a little later. Is that okay? Great. Hi, please. Sure. For how long had you had that job?
Years.
Years, okay. A long time.
Yeah.
No pain?
No.
No. And you'd had pain before?
Not this time. Okay.